Almost forgot it again. Blessings, go ahead and be dismissed. Others, turn into your Bibles to Psalm chapter 85. All right, we're going to read the first couple verses. Psalms chapter 85. Look with me, verse number 1. It says, Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins, Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, once again, it's a wonderful privilege to be in your house and to be able to give your word, to share what you've laid on my heart, to share with your people. Lord, I pray that it would be a help to us this evening. Not much, but it hopefully will be of a help and some tips and some helps as we start looking towards revival, Father. May it work in our hearts and our lives and touch us this evening. May we look forward towards revival. May you bless the services only you can. Use me as your messenger. Just please cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with your power and your spirit. In your name we pray. Amen. We all know that next Sunday, we're Lord willing next Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, as we've mentioned, plan on coming here and we're starting what we call a revival service. It'll last a couple days till Wednesday night. We'll meet Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock, Sunday night at our regular time. Everything will be normal except for the other three nights of revival. And we know what that is. We know what that's like. We've been through revival services a lot in the past. I've grown up going to some. As our church, we try to hold two a year. They have the Thanksgiving revival, the spring revival. So we're used to having these services. We're used to having what we call revival. But it's important to remember and to recall that revival isn't just services. It's not just a place where in the summer when it's nice outside, you see these churches setting up the tents and they're pulling chairs outside. You know, that's not just revival because it's outside and it's under a tent. It's not just revival because we get a special speaker and because we put special emphasis on the preaching and maybe on even some prizes and inviting guests and things like that. We call it revival, but that's not necessarily what revival is just all about. That's just the meeting. That's just the time of the meeting, the event, so to speak. Revival rather happens in our hearts. It happens in each and every one of us. And so as we come up this week to the starting of our spring revival, I pray and I hope that, like me, you are excited about it. I hope you are ready for it, prepared for it. I'm ready to see what all God can do in my life and in our lives, in our church. I hope that you're excited about that as well, looking forward to it and praying about it with me. I'm excited for it and ready. But the thing is we don't have to wait for it to start then. But also, an encouraging thought is it doesn't have to end Wednesday night either. Yes, that's the times that we meet for our so-called revival, but revival doesn't have to start at that specific time, and revival doesn't have to end at that specific time. Revival can last as long as we want it to last. It can go on, and it can go on, and it can go on if we're ready for it, if we're willing for it, and we allow it to. We can have a revival like that. It could start here, it could start now, and it can last for as long as we allow it to. I want to share some tips on revival with you this evening. Some tips that we can look at, that we can work towards, so that we can have a so-called effective revival in our church, in our lives, in our community, wherever it might occur, wherever it might happen. How can we have revival? As the psalmist prays here, revive us again. What does revival look like? All these we can answer tonight. Just share some thoughts and some tips on it. Number one, we must confess our need for revival. We must confess our need for revival. I believe firmly, obviously we can see here, That is what the psalmist is doing. The psalmist is praying here. It was a confession of need. Wilt thou not revive us, or wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? He was confessing a need for revival. It was only when he felt the need that he prayed. If you don't need something, it may not come to your mind, right? If you don't need it, you're not going to think it. That just doesn't work that way. But if you need it, it's going to be on your mind. You're going to be thinking, I need this. And the psalmist apparently needed revival. He wanted revival enough. He saw that it was a need, and he confessed it to Almighty God, saying, Lord, revive us again. I'm confessing my need for revival. Now, can I ask you this evening, do you feel the need for revival? Do you feel the need for revival? I'm not asking, do you think that we need revival? I'm not asking if revival is right or if revival is wrong. I'm asking if you yourself, individually, see a need for revival. In your life, in our church, in our homes, in our communities, in our country. Do you see a need for revival? And can you, like the psalmist this evening, because you see that need, confess it before God. Confess it before others, Lord. We need revival. Lord, wilt thou revive us again? Think of the need of revival with me this evening in the outside world. Multitudes of people all around us, everywhere, outside of these doors, need the gospel. They need revival. They need somebody that could come to them and that could show them the wonderful, glorious truth of the gospel. They need it more than we do, but we need to have it first so that we can go out and we can reach them and we can win them and we can tell them. But there are multitudes of people, not just in our community, but all around the world, that are living in this dark and hopeless world. They have nothing to show for their life. Life is hard. This world is hard. They have no hope, but we have some hope that we could share with them. We have the hope that we could share with them, and we could show them. The outside world is needing revival. It's needing something, and so our job, as we heard this morning, we're going to have some emphasis nights. I don't know exactly what they are, but Monday nights and Tuesday night and Wednesday night, we're going to have a couple emphasis nights. A co-worker night, a neighbor night, a friend night, whatever it might be, to bring those specific people, because we all know somebody. We all have people. There are people out there that need to come so that they can hear the gospel during that revival time, those revival services. Think of the need for revival in the church. We may think that we have a great church, and I stand behind that. I love our church. I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for each and every one of you, and I love you, and I'm glad that I'm here and a part of it. But you know, not every church is perfect. There's not a perfect church. And every church has the ability for, or has some room for revival. We need revival in our church. Many churches today, they're worldly, they're informal. They're lacking in that spiritual power. They don't have God, his presence there with them. They need revival. They don't have the power of God in their church. They don't care to, possibly. They don't seek his face. They don't seek his will. They could care less. They've gone away from their first love. And so churches need revival. And only revival can alter the state of affairs. Revival can change lives because God's word changes lives. And I know that we can have revival here in our church because we stand on the word of God. We preach the word of God. Now, we don't preach anything else. We don't preach a watered-down gospel message. We preach the truth. And because of that, and as long as we stand upon that, we can have revival here. I want us to have revival in our church as well. We must confess the need for revival, but also the need in our lives for revival. We all need it in our own lives. Revival is your personal need. The church needs it, yes. The outside world needs it, yes. You need it, and I need it too, though. We all need revival. Like the psalmist, we need to pray to God, confessing the need to revive our hearts again. Maybe go around singing or humming the words to the hymn that we sing, revive us again, you know. Make it true in our hearts and our lives, and praying, asking God, Lord, revive my heart now this upcoming week, next week during the revival services, because we need revival, but we need to confess it. There will never be any revival until we are willing to admit our desperate need for it. So do you see the need? Can you confess the need for revival this evening in these various areas? Number two, we must admit the possibility of revival. The possibility of revival. Are we convinced that revival is possible? Honestly, I don't think a lot of Christians do. Maybe that's just my view of what I see. Maybe there are Christians that do believe that God is ready to send a special revival that can be just like the Great Awakenings early on in America. That will be what America needs. We'll see thousands and thousands of people saved. Maybe it's just something great in our church or in our homes, whatever it might be. There are those that believe in the possibility of revival. There are those that will preach about revival, that pray about revival, that earnestly seek revival because they believe in the possibility of it happening. They know it can happen. They admit the possibility, but do we? Will we admit the possibility that revival can happen in our church? Will we admit the possibility that revival can happen in our own lives? I'm telling you, if we can do that and it happen in our own lives and it happen in our church, it can happen in our community. The community, the people out there will see something different about this place. They'll see God's presence here. They'll see God's power here. They'll see His power on our lives as well. And they'll want a part of it. They're all looking to be a part of something. We just got to beat other things and other people to Him, you know? So if we want that, we need to admit the possibility for it and know that it can happen. Six times in verses 1 through 3 here in Psalm 85, the psalmist reminded God of what he had done. He says, basically, you showed and then you restored. That's how he starts out the verse, and that's how he ends the verse in the first three verses. Because of the things that God had done in the past for him and done for the nation of Israel at this time, the psalmist was confident in the possibility of revival because he was confident in the things of God. Because he was confident in God himself. He knew that God can do because God had already done. You know, we look back in our history and we could see revivals in our history here in America and throughout the world in biblical times. We think of, and we talk often of the Welsh revival and what happened took place there. The Wesleyan revivals in England and things like that. As I mentioned already, the Great Awakenings. Not too far from here, a couple years ago up in Burlington, that the revival that took place there. Not on the scale of these other ones, these historic ones, but truly a great, great revival that took place there in North Carolina. And so we know that it can happen, but will we admit that it can happen? The possibility of it. Some people will never admit the possibility of revival coming in our day, coming in our time, let alone come to us or come to our church. But it can. The history plus the promises of God prove the possibility of revival. So I hope and I pray that you can believe with me and pray with me that it can happen. The possibility is right there if only we believe and we admit that it can happen. Thirdly, we must recognize the source of revival. Recognize the source. Where does revival come from? It comes from God. It doesn't come from anyone else or anywhere else. It's not worked up. There's nothing we can do to work for revival or to cause revival. It's sent down. Revival comes only from God. Therefore, our eyes must not be upon men. Our eyes can't be upon methods and churches or denominations. Our eyes must be fixed on Him, earnestly believing and praying, knowing that revival can happen, and it will happen. When we look to men, we get what men can do. When we look to money, we get what money can do. When we look to organizations, we get what organizations can do. When we look to denominations, we get only what denominations can do. But when we look to God, we get what God can do. He's the only one that we can look to. He's the only one we can go to for our source of revival. He is our source, the ultimate source of revival. We can work hard for revival. We could go out and invite all these people, anybody we want. We can pack these pews tight. People can be crammed in here. And we can be ready for revival, but it doesn't come from us. It doesn't come by how hard we work for it. It comes only from God. We have no power. Only God has the power to bring revival because he is the source. Not by our might, not by our strength, but by him. Only by him. Number four, we must employ the means for securing revival. We must go about the means for securing revival. What is the secret of revival? Did you know that there's a secret? I firmly believe that with many preachers, expositors, a great men of God, our faithful leaders in the past, I believe that prayer is the secret of revival. Prayer. Prayer is the secret of revival. And that is what the psalmist is doing here in verse 6. Just praying to God, God, wilt thou not revive us again? Prayer is the answer. This morning, Pastor shared that little illustration, that quote from Gypsy Smith. When he was asked about the secret of revival, he said, go home, take a piece of chalk, sit in the middle of it, and then draw a circle around you. And everything in that circle is what you should be praying for revival. Pray to God, God, revive everything in this circle, is what Gypsy Smith said, is what he lived by, it's what he preached. And much like him, I believe we need to do the same. We could take several pieces of chalk if we wanted to, and after the service, if we were prepared to do so, we could go around this entire building, or we could go out in the parking lot, and we can all stand together in a circle and draw it around us and say, God, please bring revival and revive our hearts. We're all standing in it following that quote, following that illustration from Gypsy Smith. It's prayer that brings about revival. The power of prayer is absolutely amazing. We could see it not only in men of God's lives, not only in Christians' lives in the past, not only in the faithful character or people of the Bible back in Bible times, but we see it being the main cause for revivals in the past. It's prayer. It's all about prayer. This was a passionate prayer, I believe, coming from the psalmist. It was passionate. He was praying on behalf of his people. He was praying on behalf of his nation. Maybe he was praying, I would hope, he was praying on behalf of himself. God, wilt thou not revive us again? He knew who God was. He knew what God could do and what he had done in the past. So he was passionately praying, God, do it again. I know you're powerful enough. I know you're strong enough. I know you can do this. Revive us. I am praying passionately, Lord, to revive us, to revive our nation, to revive me, myself. That is what the psalmist is doing here, I believe. He was passionately praying because he knew what the results of revival would be like as well. In fact, he goes on in the remainder of the chapter, 7 through 13, I believe, are several results of revival. And we'll go through that later, along with other results. It was a passionate prayer. It was a believing prayer as well. He believed in his heart that God would do it because he believed his God. It's as simple as that. Do we, number one, have the passion to pray like this psalmist did for revival? And then do we believe like the psalmist did, knowing that our God can make it possible? Thirdly, it was an urgent prayer. It was an urgent prayer, I believe. He was wanting it then and there. He didn't say, God, revive our hearts next week. He didn't say, Lord, revive our hearts next year. No. Wilt thou not revive us again? I believe that he was just implying now. God, revive our hearts now. As soon as possible, revive our hearts. It was urgent to him. It meant something to him. It was important to him. He wanted it now. And so, like him, I believe we need to pray urgently tonight and this week for revival. If it means something to us, if we truly want it in our lives, if we truly want it in our church, that is, we need to pray passionately, believing, and we need to pray urgently for revival. Has there ever been a revival that was not preceded by prayer? No, I don't believe so. I can't find an example by that. You look at all the illustrations, all the stories, everything you can read about revival, what you see preceding revival is prayer. Whether it be just one person praying for years and years and years and years, a group of people, a church, a nation praying. It was all because of prayer that revival took place. So let's take this week before we start our so-called revival services next week. Let's take this week to pray about revival. But also pray maybe tonight. Maybe as we go home. Tomorrow. That revival could take place in our lives now. Not just next week, but now. Make it urgent praying that revival can come. Number five, we must provide the channels for revival. the channels for revival. We provide them. They come by us, we, individuals. God is wanting to send revival, but he needs channels to do so. And verse 6, what is that pronoun that it says? Wilt thou not revive who? Us. Us. Us individually. I believe he's talking about believers here, the Christians. Do we want revival? I want revival. Then we need to be willing for it to happen in us first. Not happen in sister so-and-so first. Not happen in the church down the street. Not happen to just the church as a whole. But us. You. Praying to be the channel of revival. Hey, if revival can start in me, praise the Lord. If revival can start in one of you, praise the Lord. Because what's going to happen is once one person catches on fire for the Lord, once one person has revival in their heart and in their lives, others are going to start having that revival in their hearts and in their lives as well. And so we need to be the channels of revival. The church is not the channel for revival by which revival comes. It's us. It's the people. Revival is the outflow of the Spirit of God through the regenerated spirit of man. It comes by God to us and then out to others. That's how revival works. That's how it comes about. And prayer before it all, believing passionately and urgently, knowing that it can happen. Therefore, if revival is to come, you and I are to be ready to receive the full blessings of God, knowing that it can happen, it will happen. We're to be the channels through whom the blessings can follow or can flow through. You love to be a blessing for others. You love to be an encouragement for others. You know, first of all, that comes from God. Yeah, that's what the Christian life is all about, is going about helping others because God has helped us, you know, so to speak. God has done great things for us, so now what great things can we do for others? Revival works the same way. Comes from God to us, and then if we're serious about it, and it happens in our hearts and in our lives, it'll go throughout others as well. Others will see it, others will flock to it, others will want it. And so I want to be a channel of revival. Let it start in me. I pray that it can and it will. And then flow into the church, into others, and then the outside world, our community. Number 6, we must remove the obstacles to revival. Remove the obstacles. Whatever the obstacle may be in your way, whatever the obstacle may be in our way as a church, let's get rid of the obstacles. Just get them out of the way. Get rid of them. In verse 6, the psalmist prays for revival, that thy people may rejoice in thee. To me, this indicates fellowship. This indicates a walk with God, an agreement with God. So basically being right with God, having that relationship with God, knowing that you and he, you're best friends, you're good, you're right with each other. To get to that point, you have to confess old sins. You have to get rid of those sins. You have to get rid of whatever it was that was keeping you first and foremost away from God, right? That's how it works. And so I believe here that's what we can learn, the obstacles to revival. What is it that is keeping us away from God to begin with? What is it that's keeping us from getting closer to him, from knowing him more, from being serious? What is it that's keeping us away from having this revival? Obstacles. Maybe it's sin. The greatest barrier to revival is you because of sin. There's all kinds of things that I can name here tonight that are present in all of our lives. We're all guilty of things that we've done, things that we continually do. Whatever that sin may be, let's get rid of it. Let's get rid of that obstacle so that we can see revival. If there's any other obstacle in the way, the list can go on and on here as well. Whatever it is that keeps you from knowing Christ more, from getting right with him, and for seeking that close, intimate, right relationship with him, let's throw it out. Let's burn it. Let's leave it in the past, and let's move forward for Christ so that we can have revival. Whatever the obstacle is, get rid of it. Don't let these obstacles keep you from experiencing revival now, next week, and in the years, the months, the weeks, however long ahead. Lastly, we shall enjoy the results of revival. We shall enjoy the results of revival. Many things mentioned throughout the remainder of this passage here, I believe, can be results for revival. Peace and glory, harmony amongst brothers and sisters in Christ, and increased provision. I believe that from being a Christian, And from seeing it amongst others as well and seeing revivals take place, that a closeness with God that's never experienced before will be a result of revival. Maybe you were close to him once, you've kind of strayed a little bit, but revival, if it happens and it's effective and it's done right, will just bring you back and draw you close to him like never before. That's a result of revival. A desire for the things of God that never used to be there is a result of revival. I believe that firmly. An awareness for the lost world around us will be a result of revival. Having a heart for others and caring about them enough to share with them what Jesus Christ has done for us and what Jesus Christ can do for them. Maybe just having the need, seeing the need and the desire that, you know what, they just need my help. I just need to invite them to church. So many things can be the result of revival. But I promise you, whatever it is in your life, whatever it is in our church, if revival comes from God, I know that the results, because they come from God, are going to be amazing. They're going to be awesome. They're going to be incredible because they come from him. Because revival was genuine. It was real in our lives. It was real in our church or wherever it took place. God wants to send revival. He wants to send it to us, but it'll only come if we believe that it can happen and it's possible. It'll only come if we want it enough. We have to want it. We have to see our need for it. We have to remove the obstacles. We have to confess sins. We have to pray passionately and urgently for it. And then we need to be the channel for revival. If we follow these things, I believe sincerely with all my heart, we'll see revival. We'll have revival individually amongst ourselves and as a church as a whole. And who knows what all it will do from there on out. I found this quote a couple days ago as I was studying for this. It didn't have a name from who it's by, but I absolutely love it. It sums everything up tonight just perfectly. Revival is always marked by an overwhelming sense of Christ's presence in the church. For example, if Jesus were to physically make his presence known Sunday after Sunday, there would be increased and renewed participation in worship. There would be an outpouring of love among God's people. There'd be a heightened awareness of holiness with confession and repentance and restitution. There'd be an eagerness for Christian service. There'd be an anointed preaching of the Word of God, an individual interest in the Holy Word of God. There'd be a growing boldness in prayer. There'd be remarkable ease in witnessing to and evangelism of the non-church community and the outside world. All-out involvement in spiritual warfare, there would be an unusual sense of well-being or wholeness. If only we wanted revival enough and we are willing to do what it takes to have revival. This is what our church could look like. This is what every church would look like if we all got on the train and we did what was necessary. Revival is literally reviving your relationship with Christ by getting right with him first and foremost, but also reviving your passion for and your enthusiasm and spirit towards the things of God. That's what revival is. Sometimes we put too much emphasis on everything that goes on with revival. That is what revival is. So are you ready for revival? Are you ready for revival? Are you willing for revival to happen? Now is the time. This is the place. I'm excited for one. I'm ready. I've been praying the last couple weeks for it. I know it can happen. I know it could take place. In fact, since I've started following these steps myself, I have felt it happen in my own life just this week alone. And if that's the case, I know it can happen for all of us and as a church. The steps for revival, are we really, are we willing, are we ready, are we passionate enough to see the urge for it and to know that we need it here amongst God's people and God's house? Revival. It's the upcoming weeks here at BBC. We need it then, but we need it in our lives. We need it in our homes. Everywhere we go, we need revival. Are you ready for it? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the message. These tips, these helps that you've given me, you've laid on my heart, Lord, to share with your people. I pray that if it's a help some way, if it's an encouragement some way to them, Lord, I thank you and I praise you for that. I thank you for the way that it's been a help to my life and how I've seen a sense of revival, Lord. And I can't thank you enough for that. I pray that we as a church would see the need. And just like this psalmist, we'd follow these steps, Lord, and we would just pray, revive us again. I know it can happen, and I know it will happen. I pray that everybody in this room would feel the same as well, and we'd go about this in the right way so that we could see revival in our hearts, in our lives, and in our church, Lord. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done, all that you will do in the invitation time and in the days ahead, Lord. Pray that you'd bless us only you can. In your name we pray, amen.